Please, we're done. You're good, but not for this song. Okay. All right. Yaso mati nandana brajabaranagara gokularanjana ha yaso mati. Yasamati nandana brajabaranagara gokul ranjana gopi parandanam adhano manahara gopi parandhanam adhano manohara kaliya dhammo navidhana kaliya dhammo navidhana Amala Harinam Namiya Vinasaham Amala Harinam Namiya Vinasaham Vipira Purandhara Navinana Gora Gora Vamsi Vadhanasi Vahasan Vamsi Vadhanasi Hey! Vajajana Falana Surakula Nasanam Vajajana Falana Surakula Nasanam Dhanha Gho Dhanha Rakhu Haran Dhanha Gho Dhanha Rakhu Haran Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara Govinda Madhava Bhavanita Taskara Sundaran Manda Gopala Sundaran Manda Gopala Dhyamuna Tattu Chara Gopi Prasanohara Dhyamuna Tattu Chara Gopi Prasanohara Rasa Rasika Kripa Moya Rasa Rasika Kripa Moya Sri Aruvallava Vrindavana Natyadvara Sri Aruvallava Vrindavana Natyadvara Bhakti Vinoda Swaha Shila Bhakti Vinoda Swaha
ಹೇ ಹಸೋಮತಿ ನಂದನ ರಜ ಭರನ್ ಹಾಗರ ಮುಕುಲ ರಂಗ ಆ ಹೇ ಹಂ ಹೇ ಹನ್ ಹಾಗರ ಮುಕು ಹಮಾಲ ಹರಿ ಹಮಿಯ ವಿಲಾಸ ಗೋವಿಂದಂ ಭಾರವಂ ಭವನಿತ್ಯಾಸ್ಕರ ಧ್ಯಾಮರ ತತ್ ಧ್ಯಾರ ಗೌಪೀ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನ ಆರ ಶಿಯರ ಭಾವ ಭಿಂದವಾನ್ ನಾತು ಭಾರ ಶ್ರೀಯಾರುಭಾವೃಂದವಾನ ನಾತು ಭಾರ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಯೋ ಹೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಜಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಜಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರ ಜಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕಿಶೋರ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಜಯ ಕಿಶೋರ 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 ಜಯ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ನಿರ್ಥಾಯ ಹರಿ 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 ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು 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 ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು 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 ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು
ಯಸುಮತಿ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜಭರನಾಗ ಗೋಕುಲ ರಂಜನ ಕಾನ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರ ಸತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ದಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಐ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿರಾಟ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಾನ್ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿಸ್ ದಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಕಿಶೋರ್ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಬಾಲದೇವ್ ಸುಭದ್ರ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ್ನಿತಾಯ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಹರಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವತಾಂ ರಾಜ ಗ್ರಂಥ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು. Nothing like a good mridanga player. Really, makes the whole kirtan. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Let's see. According to my calculations, it's text 31. Okay. So, very short, word for word. Yay, that, va-u-ha, certainly, tat-rata, of his chariot, charana, of the wheels, nemi, by the rims, krita, made, parikhataha, trenches, te, those, sapta, seven, sindavaha, oceans, asan, became, yata, because of which, eva, certainly, krita, were made, sapta, seven, bhuva, of the bhumandala, dvipa, islands. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, the rims of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became the seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandala into seven islands. Purport. Sometimes the planets in outer space are called islands. We have experience of various types of islands in the ocean. And similarly, there are various planets divided into 14 lokas. These are called islands in the ocean of space. As Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, he created seven different types of oceans and planetary systems, which altogether are known as Bhumandala or Bhuloka. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhur Bhuva Swa Tat Savito Varenyam. Above the Bhuloka planetary system is Bhuvaloka, and above that is Swargaloka, the heavenly planetary systems. All these planetary systems are controlled by Savita, the sun god. By chanting the Gayatri Mantra just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Minobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhunditananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Maharaj Priyavrat, we can see how powerful his personality is. He wanted sunlight on all sides of the universes, so he created his own pathway of the sun. Created almost a second sun. Now he drove his chariot behind the sun and created impressions in the ocean, impressions in the landscape which caused seven oceans to appear. And he divided the planetary systems. Wow. He's a jiva. He's not a Shakta Vaishavatar. He's not, you know, the internal energy of the Lord. He's like the ordinary jivas, but he became so powerful because of his austerities, because of his penances, but because one thing, it was Guru Bhakti, his allegiance to his spiritual master, because he followed very strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. He developed the intelligence to understand how to expand those instructions into many, many aspects. Just like there's a rote, I'll use the word rote, R-O-T-E. Rote means ordinary, or what we say, kind of like routine way of doing things. There's a rote way of following the instructions, but then there is the deeper way of following the instructions. The deeper way is taking the instructions and taking them to heart and making them instructions one's life and soul. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru yasyaita pratite karta prakasananda mahatmanaha. His verses from the Svetasvatara Upanishads, which explains that one has implicit faith. The word is not faith, but implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master and Krishna, both Krishna's instructions in the scriptures and Guru's instructions also, then automatically all knowledge is revealed within the heart of the personality. In other words, one gets self-realization simply by taking the instructions into one's heart and making it one's life and soul. It says that meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master is as good as seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. That's also mentioned. So how powerful a person can be simply by following the instructions of their spiritual master with complete dedication and with complete, what we say, desire to expand those instructions into more and more understandings. Just like Srila Prabhupada was asked to go on by his spiritual master. Of course, he received the same instructions all his god brothers received, to go and preach to the rest. But he did it. Everyone else, few tried, came back with some little success, but nothing that really developed into a, what we say, a movement. But Prabhupada had such faith in the instructions of the spiritual master, and he would quote that verse, ekeha kudanandana buhu sakya yanatas cha buddhayo vyavasayinam. That one who is fixed on the instructions of the spiritual master, then there's no question of not, what we say, succeeding. Because the instructions of the spiritual master are the instructions of Krishna. There's no difference. If one sees any difference in that, then one is seeing duality in the absolute principle. There's no question of duality in the absolute spiritual nature. There's principles of understanding, but there's no duality. Principles of understanding is how to execute the instructions. And by meditating on the instructions and trying to carry out the instructions, the realization of how to fulfill the instructions also is given. In other words, that's how powerful the instructions are. They reveal themselves according to the depth of one's determination to fulfill the instructions. So, Priyavrata, he had that desire to do his service in the best possible way, with the best possible, in such a way that would please Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, and everyone else that he was serving. He became as powerful as the sun god himself. Wow. So a devotee can be so powerful that that power seems to be, what we say, unbelievable. Because where is that power coming from? There's only one source of power. No one, no individual personality has any power. We receive our power, our abilities, our qualities, our talents, you might say, from outside of us. It comes by way of other sources. But the ultimate source, as we say, Sarva Karna Karnam, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Ishwar Parma Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinde Sarva Karna Karnam. That he's the cause of all causes. So whatever a devotee has or is simply the grace of the Lord. And that can be expanded unlimitedly as one tries to fulfill the instructions of the Lord as one's life and soul. And that makes one as powerful as the Lord. That's why sometimes they say the spiritual master is non-different than the Lord. When the spiritual master absorbed in serving the instructions of the Lord, he becomes as good as the Lord. Of course, he never thinks he's the Lord, but he becomes as powerful as the Lord because he's emanating the power of the Lord through his own dedication and activities. And that's Krishna consciousness. Here, we see that with Maharaj Priyavrat. I mean, he made oceans. He created oceans. I mean, try to do that. Think about that. And he also helped to give a division to the planetary systems and the different islands. So that is powerful. I mean, what jiva soul can do that? But because he was austere, and because he was dedicated, and he tried to fulfill the instructions, and he also had a very qualified wife. We also hear from the previous verses how he got support from his wife, being expert in pleasing her husband in so many ways, that gave him enthusiasm in his devotional service. This principle is very important to understand too, because they always say behind every successful man is a woman, and that is not a cliche, that is actually a truism. And behind every successful man is a woman, and that's true. What about brahmacharis? Well, Radharani's there for the brahmacharis and for the sannyasis. But that his wife was so supportive and so expert at pleasing her husband that he got enthusiasm to perform his duties from there. But he was so determined. And this guru bhakti, or fixed on the instructions of the spiritual master, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, is like seeing Krishna face to face. It's no different. So how much we can gain in our devotional service if we learn the instructions of the spiritual master and take them to heart. Now there's two kinds of instructions. There's the general philosophical instructions which are given in the shastras and given by the words of the spiritual master. That we can read, that we hear in classes and lectures. And that is what we say generally for the broader aspect of the congregation, for everyone. But then there's the specific instructions. What is my specific instructions? How can I serve in such a way to please the spiritual master? And in some cases, at least in our society, for those of us who were here when Srila Prabhupada, many devotees got specific instructions. Do this service, or go here, or so many other things, you know. Especially the devotees in the early days, they got specific instructions. And later on, others did too. And those who fulfilled those instructions did it in a most amazing way. That's why this movement spread so fast, because they were fixed. Some of the devotees in that day used to say, we were just waiting for Prabhupada to tell us what to do, and therefore we would consider that our life. If we just got an instruction and Prabhupada would tell us what to do, we would think, this is the fulfillment of my devotional life. So, but we can also gain that also. Therefore, one of the principles in the relationship between the guru and the disciple, as the disciple inquires from the spiritual master, how can I make advancement? Srila Rupa Goswami explains that in Nectar of Devotion, where he speaks about the 64 qualities or 64 principles of devotional service. The first thing he says is Adogruvastika. Take shelter of a spiritual master. That's the first thing. The second is initiation. The third thing is to follow his instructions with heart and soul. And the fourth thing is to inquire regularly, how can I make advancement? He gives four principles. And these are the first four of the 64. Because Guru Bhakti is first. There's no question of our relationship with Krishna without our relationship with Guru. There's no question. We can try to approach Krishna, but Krishna will tell you, you want to approach me, you have to approach me through my representative. And when he's pleased, then my mercy comes. So that's the process of bhakti. To try to please the spiritual master, to try to meditate deeply on the instructions of the spiritual master, and try to also get specific instructions, what can I do, or how best can I serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are principles that we should think about in terms of how to make advancement in devotional service. It's not just going through the emotions. As Prabhupada said, you could be doing your service, but if there's no bhakti in it, there's no love, there's no feelings of trying to please, it's pretty much useless. It's just useless. That's why devotees, for years and years, they go on and don't make any advancement, because they don't really know how to execute the process. And therefore, executing the process requires clarification of the principles and the instructions according to time, place, and circumstance. How can I make advancement? I'm chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's purified by our service attitude. Then one can actually chant the holy names of the Lord. When our service attitude becomes so strong, that when we sit down and chant, it becomes so natural just to hear and chant the holy name. Because Krishna is right there. Because you're with him all day, now he's with you when you chant also. So these are principles of importance of Guru Bhakti. Here it also says that he mentions the Gayatri Mantra. There's one worships the sun god, yachakshiresavitam sagalagrahanam raja samurstam suramurtanateshatesa yagya sambritibam sambritikala chakro govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Should we do it again? Yachakshiresavitam sagalagrahanam Raja samurstha sura murti sate sate sa yagya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. That's beautiful by Lord Brahma. He's glorifying the sun god who is kala chakro. He's the wheel of time. As the sun rises and as the sun sets. What is that verse? Who's got the Veda base with them? Glenn, you have the Veda base there? We have, yes. Canto 2, chapter 3, verse 17. Beautiful verse. I think this was spoken, I think it's spoken by Sukadev Goswami. 2:3:17. Yeah, go ahead, read it. By the rising and the setting of the sun, another day is lost, and one is closer to death, except for one who engages in glorifying the all-good personality of Godhead. So people's life is being diminished by the movements of the sun. Prabhupada would always say that when we talk about age, we say, how old are you? Of course, that's the English word. And just like in India, they say, what is your age? But Prabhupada would say, well, your age is 22. That means you're 22 years dead. Means 22 of years, your years are finished. And whatever's remaining is your life. You know, something, well, I'm 17. They're proud of that. It means you lost 17 years. It's finished. I'm 65. You ain't got long to go. So, you know, it's just not, it's not a matter of age. It's a matter of decreasing the duration of our existence within this body. That's what it's all about. But it says that one who glorifies the all-good Supreme Personality of Godhead is not affected by the movements of the sun. The sun cannot change, decrease the lifespan of one who is engaged in devotional service. Why? Because devotional service is transcendental to time. It's not affected by the time element. And therefore, whatever one is doing now, they'll be doing it always, either in this body or in another body. Whether you do it here in this body or you do it somewhere else in another body, you do the same thing. Prabhupada would talk about a machine called a Deki machine. Actually, it's not Prabhupada, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada would explain it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says if you have a Deki machine, what's a Deki? A Deki machine is a wheat husking machine. So there's a song that if you take the wheat husking machine and you bring it to heaven, what does it do? The same thing. If you bring it to hell, what does it do? The same thing. Whatever you take the machine does what it does. So wherever a devotee does, he's serving Krishna. Whether it's in this body, in this planetary system, in that situation, in that, or back home, back to Godhead. Taktva dehom purna janmani, naiti mam eti surjuna. The devotee does the same thing. So there's no question of the time element affecting the devotee. Because they're always connected to the eternal principle of existence, and therefore they're serving wherever they are. So devotees are not fearful of the time element, whereas the non-devotees are completely overwhelmed by the time element. Therefore, when you speak about death to the non-devotees, they say, why are you so miserable and morbid? Talk about something nice. Talk about something happy. Why you guys are all so, you know, death-oriented? Because we're not trying to make any plans to be happy in this material world. We're preparing ourselves for our eternal occupation, devotional service to the Lord. And therefore, the activities of this world don't interest us, nor do we have any desire to hear about them or do them. We simply live in this material world, in this material body, but we're engaged in devotional service. Therefore, time cannot affect you. In fact, time becomes your friend, whereas in the in the materialistic society, time is the enemy because it's just taking away, taking away, taking away. Whatever people have, it takes away. As soon as you get it, you start to lose it. A baby is born, it's already one day dead, 2 days dead. Time takes away. It brings something in, it brings it in, but then again, what is the time element? The time, Krishna says, mitya sava rasyaham. He says, I am time. What is that time? Destroyer of everything. He doesn't call time the creator, he calls it the destroyer. He calls it the destroyer. And Krishna is that same time element. So for a devotee, there's no fear of the time element because the devotee is engaged in the same occupation they'll be doing any place. So the devotee is happy simply to serve the Lord here or wherever. It doesn't really matter as long as devotional service. But the materialists, they have to forget about death. Why? Because they can't really be enthusiastic for their materialistic plans. If you tell a person you're going to die tomorrow, they'll say, well, I got a lot of plans yet. Prabhupada talks about this one man who was very wealthy, and he was on his deathbed, and he was saying to the doctor, "Doctor, I'll give you millions of dollars, just give me some few more years. I got some few plans that I haven't finished yet." But no doctor can give 1 second unless Krishna wants it. Ma rake Krishna more ke, more Krishna rake ke. When Krishna wants you to go, you're gone. And when Krishna wants you to stay, this class is for me. I'm preparing for my sojourn. And so it doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, the element of time, because time is simply working under the effect of Krishna. That's all. No material arrangement can save you, and no material arrangement can destroy you. It's all Krishna, ultimately. So devotee knows that. Therefore, they always take shelter of Krishna and the instructions of the spiritual master. And it says here, to end the point, by chanting the Gayatri Mantra just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god. So the Gayatri Mantra is given on the second initiation, and it's Mother Gayatri. Should I tell you a story about Gayatri? Yes? Why do we chant Gayatri silently? That mantra is not heard out loud. Well, there was a big, big yajna, and all the great sages were there. And this was done in a place called Pushkar in India. And Brahma was meant to preside over the yajna along with his good wife Saraswati, the goddess of learning. So all the yajna paraphernalia was in place, all the priests were there, all the great sages, Lord Shiva was also there. And Saraswati was late. She didn't come on time. And then because she wanted to look pretty, so she was taking extra time to, you know, ladies do that. Sometimes they spend like two years in the bathroom trying to figure. The husband saying, "When are you going to come? I'll be there in another 5 minutes." 1 hour later, "You coming out?" Oh, that's another story. Anyway, that's the way life is. So she was just, you know, taking time, as much time as she could. And then the Brahmins were saying to Lord Brahma, "Hey, you know, we got to start the yajna. The time for auspicious start is about to happen. If we don't start the yajna, it's not going to be auspicious." But he says, "I can't go do the yajna unless my wife Saraswati comes, and she's not here yet." So they waited, then finally they said, "Do something." So they said, "Get another consort." So Gayatri was there. So Mother Gayatri came forward, and she was the surrogate Saraswati. She took the position of Saraswati, and they performed the yajna. And Lord Shiva was in favor of it, and so many others. So, and then Saraswati arrives, and it's already started without her. Wow, she was furious. Whoa, she was really angry. So she cursed. And she said, "Lord Brahma, you rascal, my husband, you will not be worshipped any other place except in this place called Pushkar. So to this day, you can't find temples of Brahma anywhere. And you, Shiva, you will only be worshipped in your linga form," because he supported the whole thing too. "You will never be worshipped in your form as Shiva, only in the linga form. And Gayatri, your glories should never be chanted out loud." So that's why we chant Gayatri soft. Saraswati's curse. Don't get the Mataji's angry. They'll curse you. So, anyway, that's the story of Gayatri. And Gayatri's chanted softly. And Gayatri supports, it's called the Bija Mantra, it supports our chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And one should aspire for what is called second initiation. Because second initiation, as Prabhupada said, is the real initiation. First initiation is into chanting of the holy names. And therefore, one's karma is still remaining. One gets part of their karma taken on the first initiation. The second initiation, then one's remaining karma gets usurped by the spiritual master, and he dispenses with that, and one is, what we say, fully initiated in the process of devotional service. That is called brahminical initiation. Brahminical initiation is considered to be the complete initiation. So one should aspire for initiation, and one should aspire for complete initiation. Therefore, when you're initiated, you can perform all the activities in devotional service without restrictions, and also you have the power, or not the power, but you have the position to do so many types of services, such as worshiping the deities, cooking for the deities, and also preaching like that. And the Gayatri Mantra helps one to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's some places there. If we just go downtown, I think on, what's the name of that place? Devon Avenue. There's a Gayatri Society. You've seen the Gayatri Society? They chant the first line of the Gayatri Mantra over and over again. And they chant it over and over and over and over again. But that's the Brahma Gayatri. There's Guru Gayatri, there's Gaur Gayatri, there's Kamala Gayatri. There's seven lines to the Gayatri Mantra. And each of the mantras glorify a particular aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead like that. So one should aspire for second initiation like that. And that means one should develop what they call brahminical qualities. Getting brahminical qualities means cultivating the mode of goodness. If we want to execute devotional service effectively, Krishna tells Arjuna, come to the mode of goodness. Develop those qualities that are conducive to the practice of devotional service, which are called the brahminical qualities. One may have brahminical qualities by one's birth, but one should practice those brahminical qualities in relationship to one's devotional service. And then those qualities will manifest as real, real qualities, because good qualities on a material sense will cause one to have self-pride. When materialist people have good qualities, they become proud. And when they become proud, then they commit offenses, usually. That's what happens. So one should cultivate these good qualities. And Lord Chaitanya gave the formula, Trinad api sunichena tayor iva sahishuna amaninam amanadena kirtaniya sadhani. Of all the good qualities that are necessary, these four are foremost. But actually, we might, to discuss what is the foremost of all the good qualities is hard to say. Some people say it's truthfulness. Others say it's cleanliness. Others say it's humility. Others say it's equanimity. So even the acharyas, but all these qualities are good. But for chanting the holy names of the Lord, humility is foremost, like that. And for interpersonal relationships, tolerance and pridelessness and respect for elders is also foremost, like that. And truthfulness means to recite the scriptures and back up everything you say with scriptural evidence. That is truthfulness. And truthfulness also means to understand that this material world is simply true but untrue at the same time. What does that mean? Truth never changes. If something is truth, it always is true. But in this material world, change is the only truth. Somebody is very qualified and then they lose their qualifications. Someone is very beautiful, and after time, that beauty is taken away. Someone is very able to do things, and then time takes that. So this is not truth. Anything in this material world is always untruth because it's always affected by the element of time or change. And that which is not affected by time is called truth, and that is absolute or spiritual. Okay, so these are some of the qualities that devotees should cultivate. And that the most important of all the qualities is that one should cultivate the mood of devotional service to the Lord and humble service to the Vaishnavas. These are foremost of all qualities because they bring about all the other good qualities. Okay, any questions? Guru Bhakti, qualifications? Yes, Acharya Nishtha. Nice and loud. Well, how to balance it means don't let all the details of temple life become the feature of your traveling, because you can't do your preaching then. You have to kind of like cut and paste and do what's minimal in terms of the brahminical aspects of, you know, but the focus is on the preaching. Otherwise, if you're out there trying to create, you know, the ideal environment, you won't be able to preach so much. So do what's necessary. Krishna will give you the intelligence if you're determined to do your service. Basic cleanliness cannot be neglected. If you're living inside of a van, keep the van clean. Have a time for cleaning the van every day. And take your baths regularly, like that. You may not always be able to follow temple standards of cleanliness, but at least you should try to have a standard of cleanliness which is acceptable for human existence. I mean, temple standard is, if you go to the toilet, you should have to bathe afterwards. You can't always do that out on the road. That's one example. Anything else? Does that help? You got to kind of balance and use your intelligence. Krishna will help you. You have to always understand one thing. Our intelligence means to access Krishna's intelligence. That's what our intelligence is about. It's not like trying to figure out how to do everything. It's how to really come in contact with the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the spiritual master. And by using that intelligence, we get the intelligence we need. When you're trying to do your service the best you can, you're going to get inspiration. The more you're absorbed in your service, the more you get ideas on how to do your service. That's coming from Krishna within the heart. It's coming from the spiritual master directly. So practical things like that point has to be adjusted according to what's best for your service. Yeah, that can be a problem. Book distribution. My dear sir, you're so qualified here, so please, this book is only for you, because you're intelligent. You don't really believe that, but we say that sometimes. Or this book's about India, right? Or it's just books about the lives of these very people who can float on carpets, you know, and sleep on nails, yogis. So sometimes we use what we say, sophistry. You know what the word sophistry means? Half-truth. Sophistry means half-truth. But it's not like you're telling a lie. You're just trying to relate to their mentality so you can get them to take the book like that. A child sometimes doesn't want to take the medicine. The mother says, if you take the medicine, I have a reward for you. So he does. Or, this is not really the medicine, this is actually candy. But it's really the medicine with some sugar on added to it. So that may be necessary. Don't get caught. Well, you know, you have to use your intelligence. The idea is to get the books out. No, you don't want to. Sneaking into places. We go to malls sometimes. Or in their malls, and they say, the security comes, what are you doing here? Oh, really? I didn't know we aren't supposed to do it here. Sorry. Yeah. I could write a book, but I won't. I mean, for preaching, sometimes you can twist it a little bit. Everybody out there is cheating anyway. And they're all, when you deal with cheaters, you have to be a little bit on the cheat side. But you're cheating it for their benefit, not for your benefit. That's the point. If you're doing it for your benefit, that's cheating. If you're cheating them for their benefit, they're being cheated anyway. It's called, you know, the promise of material happiness, which never comes. So you're just cheating them. You're actually helping them get out of their mentality of being cheated. Okay. So, but don't try to use them for your own gain. It's not about getting money from them. If you're cheating to get money, that's cheating. If you're cheating to give them the book, that's different. We're not interested in the money so much. We're interested in getting the mercy out. Money will come. Okay. When we cheat to get money, that's cheating. We're not interested in money per se. We're interested in preaching, and preaching will bring in money. No doubt. Anything else? Any other questions? Quiet today. Yes, Prabhu. What's your name again? Drew? Yeah. It's not cheating when you look at it from the perspective of what you're trying to do. You're just adjusting things so people can be receptive to the message. That's all. You're just trying to get that book somewhere and get it into their hands. Because really, a lot of times they want it, but their heart wants it, their mind doesn't want it. You got to get beyond their mind. They really want this. They're looking for it. And you got it. But their mind's telling them something different. So it's not cheating in the real sense of the word. Cheating means I'm gaining something from saying something or doing something. We're not gaining anything. or we're trying to give something. So you're simply adjusting the presentation to the, so they can be more receptive, that's all. Prabhupada used the example. The child doesn't like the medicine, mix it with candy. And you don't tell the child it's medicine, you tell him it's candy. That's all. See the difference? You're too honest. It's not being too honest, it's just understanding the principles. Yes, Jai Jagannath.
So it seems like it requires a certain degree of Christian consciousness to really honestly apply such principles.
Yeah.
If we like to stretch out the system of mature consciousness and then we try to apply that, then our actual conditioned cheating nature
yeah.
can be nourished instead of actual Christian consciousness.
Yeah, that could be like that. Yeah, don't do something that you don't feel comfortable doing. If you don't feel comfortable, then you present it in a way that you feel is best to present it, that's all. But it not only takes a certain degree of Krishna consciousness, it also takes a degree of dedication to the service too, which is part of Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, if you don't feel, you could just go up to him and say, this is the Bhagavad Gita, my dear sir. It's one of the most ancient religious scriptures in the world. It teaches, It actually says you're a rascal, and and it teaches you how to become free from your rascalness. Part of the money you have is due to the fact that you're a rascal and getting it. Yeah, there are certain devotees who go out on books with the dhotis. I know, and some of them are very effective. They go out and they got tilak, dhotis, and around the streets. If you have that much faith, do it. But Prabhupada also writes in the seventh canto, you can change your dress in order to preach. And he recites, he gives the evidence in the seventh canto where Prahlad Maharaj, you know, when he was preaching to his schoolmates. And was it? And it says that Parani Kashipu was claiming that Vaishnavas were coming in disguise and, you know, polluting his son. So Prabhupada says, yes, sometimes we have to go in disguise because they will not understand. But you can go out in dhotis too. It's not like you have to do one or the other. Do whatever you feel comfortable with. Any other points? You don't look at all convinced. Yeah, okay. You have a certain degree of Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can look at a girl and say, oh, you're really beautiful. And you can actually think that way, but it's not true. It's just this piece of skin over a whole bunch of other stuff we won't mention. So it's, you know, it's what is truth in this world? You look very miserable. Am I saying certain things that are disturbing? If I'm disturbing you, that's good. Because that means your material attachments are getting pulled away. So this idea is the highest principle. What you just said is the highest principle. And the acting in accordance with the absolute truth is truthfulness. Sukadeva Goswami, when he was born, he just left home because he had a mission. He was 16 years old when he appeared in the world. He was in the womb of his mother for 16 years. He came out and just left. His father started to chase after him. But he had a mission. He knew he had to go see Maharaj Pariksit and preach. He wasn't going to stay around for family duties. Because he had a higher mission, yeah. So acting in accordance with the absolute truth is truth. But don't take advantage of that and think that I can say anything and do anything. It's a principle of Krishna consciousness, as Jai Jagannath clearly made. The point is, what can serve Krishna the best? Not me. You have to devoid yourself or divest yourself from any personal interest when you're doing this service. If you have personal interests and you tell lies based on your own personal interests, that's cheating. But if it's for Krishna's interest, then you can adjust the wording in such a way that people will like what you say. It's like when we preach to yoga people. So yoga people come and we teach them, this is all about Hatha Yoga. And then we give them Krishna consciousness after some time. We're not into Hatha Yoga, but they are. And so we present Krishna consciousness in the setting of Hatha Yoga. So we'll have a devotee who's a Hatha Yoga teacher, and then he'll chant, you know, mantras while he does the different positions. What was his? Atmarama, out in California. He was one of the first to do that. He was giving yoga to movie stars out in Hollywood. And he would say, okay, now this position, there's a mantra with it, it's called Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So when you do this position, we chant this mantra, and this helps you to get into the position. And then this yoga position is Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopal. So you do the different positions in such a way that, you know, you can add a mantra to it. And now here's the supreme position, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So you got all these movie stars who are just twisting like pretzels, but they're chanting, you know, mantras. So that's intelligence. Now what Hatha Yoga teacher, you know, puts mantras along with the thing? He just tells you how to get into the position and explains what how to formulate your consciousness in relationship to what you're doing. Don't force yourself, you know, so many things. So is that cheating? Is that cheating? No, it's not cheating. That's intelligence. That's intelligence. Is that cheating, Glenn? Okay, thank you. Glenn is so honest that if he says it, he can't possibly tell a lie. He's like Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's so truthful that it's impossible for him to say anything, a lie. Right? At the same, but then if he's confirming what I just said, that means it's truth, right? There you go, confirmation. You could never lie. World War II. Anne Frank. That famous, yeah. People came in and said, are you Jewish? And they said, no. She saved many lives, right? Yeah. There's another story where it was one yogi. Some thieves took shelter of this yogi, and the police came, and he said, they asked him, the thieves are here? I forgot, was it the thieves? Anyway, he told the truth, and because he told the truth, he got a heavy reaction for it. Can't remember the story. Remember that one, Jai Jagannath? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's right. That's the story. Yeah, that's the story. Yeah, the dacoits were after these people, and they took shelter of this one Brahmin, and he told them where they were because he didn't want to tell a lie. Satyam priyam, satyam bruyam. That's the principle. Speak truth, but in a palatable way. Okay, anything else? Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi.